You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. I'm Ed Stetzer, your host. I always say that like on my radio show, so it always feels like I should say it on the podcast as well. By the way, too, you can follow my stuff at edstetzer.com if you're interested. Connect with the different resources that I have there. For this conversation, let me also remind you to always go to newchurches.com. Everything there is free. It's intended as a resource to you in partnership with the Send Network. We're super happy to have that option. Actually, I'm going to jump into a conversation with my guest today that's going to also end with some free resources. We like free around here because we like church planners. And so if you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to leave a review and a rating so more people can find the podcast as well. So anyway, so welcome to yet another episode of the New Churches Podcast. Our guest today is Chuck Peters. Chuck and I actually worked, and we overlapped some when I was at Lifeway. He's the director of Lifeway Kids. Before his role, he was actually in television and video production. Emmy award-winning producer. I knew someone named Emmy, but I've never been an Emmy award-winning producer. He's director, writer, and on-screen talent. He's a graduate of Columbia Bible College, and Chuck and his wife, Chris, have served in student and children's ministry for years. Chuck, super happy to have you on the podcast and to talk a little bit about children's ministry. Because Chuck, it's one of the things is that people, when church planters plant churches, they generally don't spend a lot of time thinking about their children's ministry until they have to. And then it's often in a sense of panic. We're gonna ask you to help us to think about children's ministry, particularly kind of outside of the traditional kind of religious context and more, because you guys have done some research and more about really how to engage the next generation. So just first of all, thanks for joining us and jump in and tell us a little bit about how can we begin to engage children, knowing that for a lot of church planners, that's something that that's not maybe their first go-to strength.
Yeah. Well, first, so I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to share with your listeners and to talk about what we can do in our new church plants to reach families. And really, reaching families starts with reaching kids. In any community, one of the biggest felt needs that parents have is for their children to find connection in a place that's safe. And a lot of parents, although they may or may not come from a church background. In some of our post-Christian cities where we're doing ministry and planting new churches, those parents still want their kids to be exposed to some information about the faith. They're open to that. And so if they feel that their kids are in a safe place, those parents are way more likely to come themselves and to listen to what it is that we have to share.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm a Christian today because I grew up just outside of New York City, and somebody came by and knocked on a door and said they were going to send a bus by. And my dad, who was heavily drinking at the time, said, "I don't care." And my sister rode on that bus, heard the gospel later. It led to a chain of events that actually led me to the Lord. And so I'm very much love the idea of how they engage. But you know, I also know that, you know, going door to door and saying, "Hey, there's a bus coming out Sunday, send your kids out."
We don't quite do that anymore.
You might get arrested or at least have someone come to your door. But yet at the same time, there are pathways here for engaging really people who don't know the Lord and more through church plants, but through children's ministry. Tell us what you're learning and seeing.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know that again, kids are the connection to the family. So when we can provide family-oriented events. Now, I'm not a fan of hosting an event and then bait and switching it to throw the gospel at somebody. But when we can be a presence in the community as a church, as a new church, to say, "Hey, we're going to do a mother-daughter banquet or a daddy-daughter dance or something that we can do at our church, a family movie night, an event in the parking lot or in the park, popsicles in the park, anything that might bring those families out." It's all about relationship. And so as we've done our research, we set out, my team and I, over the last 2 years to do some work to better understand the unique needs of Gen Z and Generation Alpha, the newest, youngest kids that we are ministering to. And the reality is that they don't think the same as, I'm a Gen Xer, they don't think the same as Xers. They don't think the same even as millennial, their millennial parents. And so we need to understand what it is that kids need, how they listen, what they understand, so that we can engage them well. One of the biggest things that we've learned, Ed, through that is they don't trust institutions or denominations. They're not worried about accreditations. They don't trust the person just because they have a stage and a microphone. They need to know that they are known as an individual, that they are known, seen, loved, and valued. And when that leader knows their name and their need and their situation, the child will listen to them. I use a little formula, T plus R equals I. Trust plus respect equals influence. And so this is a generation where if we want to influence them and reach their families, we have to invest the time it takes to build a true relationship that gains trust and respect. Then they will listen when they know that Mr. Ed or Mr. Chuck care for them. Their eyes, ears, hearts, and minds are open to hear what we have to say.
You know, as you called me Mr. Ed, you just realized that you just said, oh, wait a second.
I'm a Jersey. Let's just, if we ignore that, nobody else will notice.
Well, nobody under 50 gets why I didn't pause at that point as well. But just so for the either listening or the young church planners, there used to be a TV show that Chuck and I are old enough to remember called Mr. Ed. And so, but no, super, super, super helpful. And partly, you know, one of the questions I think a lot of people have is, you know, we think about engaging parents. And I think it's kind of shifted. You know, when I was a kid, they did engage my sister. And again, it led to this life transformation. And then you get to the 90s and 80s, 90s, and it's like, you know, let's engage families and do family ministry where parents bring their kids. But there's an opportunity for both of these options to engage kids and more. And that, as you talked about, that maybe that open door is ultimately there. But I think a lot of parents, and well, let's in this case, church planters, they're kind of unsure, what do they really need to do? Because I mean, I look and see these big churches and they got, you know, fish tanks and they got, I don't know, thinking of Saddleback. They have this big fish tank that was out there, or they have, you know, and I'm at a large church that has a huge children's program with all kinds of stuff that a church plant can't have.
Right.
So what kind of things do like church plants, you know, smaller churches are trying to engage secular contexts? What kind of ways can they, because they can't replicate those
That's
environments.
That's right. Well, and the good news is that it doesn't matter. Now, those things are fine. And in many cases, they're good, right? But that's a device. That's not the goal. And so we can use fish tanks and we can use playgrounds and we can use stages and screens. I do believe, and we have developed a new resource that uses video screens. We can talk more about that later. But using technology is a great way to engage with kids. But the great news is, you know, the performance-based ministry models of the past, of the 90s and early 2000s, are really not where it's at. And we've seen that they don't do the job. What's more important is that personal relational engagement, and we can do that anywhere.
Yeah, and that's super encouraging for, I think, for church planters, because, you know, it's kind of the unplugged moment is an opportunity before us. Okay, so talk to me a little bit about, you have a resource or two we're going to make available to everybody for free. So tell us a little bit about the resource as well. Now, you held it up before, but they can't see it on video. So they're all listening on audio, but it's called Flip the Script. Well, unpack this. I think it's a real helpful resource for people.
So my team and I have compiled a book. It's called Flip the Script. It's Disrupting Tradition for the Sake of the Next Generation. And what we did is we set out to understand the unique cultural needs of Gen Z and Generation Alpha so that we could help advise and inform and resource the church to reach this generation. We know from research, and Ed, I know that you have put a lot of work into this during your time at Lifeway in understanding the decline of the church in North America. We know that each subsequent generation identifies less and less as Christian and is less and less influenced by the church. In the 1970s, more than 70% of the culture, whether they were Christian or not in North America, had confidence in the church. Today, it's less than 30%. So the public's general confidence in the church has dropped. those who attend church have declined. And so we really are addressing a generation who, for all intents and purposes, is a secular generation, a first generation that needs to be reached. So their parents were unchurched, many of them, and they're bringing kids to church today. And many of us have children who walk into our churches who don't know who God is, who don't know what the Bible is. They don't know the people in the Bible and the names. They don't know the stories. They don't know the lingo and the terminology. And so we as the church really need to understand who we're talking to in the kids and student space, in the next gen space, so that we can adapt our language in a way that we can speak the gospel to these kids in a way that they can hear it and understand it. And so we've done some work to put together, and we've compiled that in a book called Flip the Script. We've got that. And it unpacks this research, and it leads into some strategy. How do we engage kids in a way that's different than what we've done before?
Yeah, and the download is you go to lifeway.com/flip-the-script-download, and it'll be able to find it's free.
Correct.
And we'll also put that in the show notes as well. All right. So, but give us some preview of what are some of the things that you found, because I think it's really an important distinction. You know, I don't want to personalize this too much, but I gave the example of this bus ministry that really ultimately I never rode the bus, my sister did, but it led ultimately to me hearing the gospel. But when I heard the gospel, I was more student youth ministry age. I remember that because I grew up nominally Catholic and we went to church twice a year, but I knew there was a God. I just didn't think I could know him personally. I knew he wrote a book. I just didn't think I could understand it. And then somebody opened the Bible and explained it to me. And I received, you know, by grace and through faith, the good news of the gospel. But man, there was a lot of pre-existing knowledge that, you know, being raised in an Irish Catholic household outside of New York City that I had. Now, people that would have been my sister's age when she rode that bus, I mean, they wouldn't have, like, I had a respect for the church. I think I had a respect for religion, had a generally positive attitude towards that. Man, so much of that's gone. So what are the things you've learned? And again, this is Lifeway. I know you did this with Lifeway Research. Scott McConnell now leads Lifeway Research. We're thankful for him. He's my successor there. I don't think I said that. I used to work at Lifeway and lead Lifeway Research. So what is different, and how does that lead to different strategy? Again, go to lifeway.com/flip-the-script-download. But I want you to unpack a little bit. What's different, and how does that change our strategy?
Yeah, you know, the mission used to be about connecting those dots. The assumption in the generation that we grew up in was that most everyone knew that the meaning of life was to do good, and then they understood that they weren't good. And so there's an easy on-ramp to connect the dots to the reason is because of sin. You know, the purpose is to do good and you're not doing it. And so right and wrong was universally understood. The Christian values, Judeo-Christian worldview was the cultural norm. And today it's not. So today it's much more common for kids to talk about your truth versus my truth when there is no absolute truth. To talk about following your heart as the ultimate goal. And in fact, this generation's largest need and highest pursuit is to define themselves, not to be defined by anyone. To be defined by anyone else is an infringement on their, not only their right, but their responsibility in their ability to define themselves. And this generation has been taught that they also need to defend other people's right to define themselves, even if they don't agree with it. And so this is a generation that desperately needs to know that that their identity is not something that they achieve. It's something that they receive and that God has spoken to.
And so what are some ways that you know, again, you guys have some good solid research. Again, I gave the download a couple times. People can find that also in the show notes. So what are some ways to engage? So here's a church planner, you know, or maybe a church planning team member, whatever. You know, they've got a core group of 25, 30 people, maybe four or five kids. He or she is now saying, all right, what do I do now to engage? Maybe I'm outside of Minneapolis. What do I do now to engage? What are some strategic differences? And maybe you could kind of contrast, because I mean, you did sort of talk about, you know, breaking some of the mold of tradition.
Yeah.
So what are some things I maybe would have done in the past that I wouldn't do now, and some things I should do now that I'm engaging?
Well, I think there are two key things in how we approach our ministries. There's what we teach and how we reach. And so we need to look at both. we can't just do things the way we've always done and get a different outcome, right? That's the definition of insanity. So we know we have to adapt to meet the needs of the culture. So we need to understand who we're talking to and what they need. We need to be aware of irregular attendance patterns and of the way that they see the world and themselves in it. And then we need to figure out how do we engage with them, right? And so how we reach is that relational connection. We found through our research two big cultural needs that this generation has. The first is the big cultural need for belonging. Their need to belong somewhere, to be accepted by someone who sees them, knows them, loves them, cares for them. The other is the big cultural need or the quest for identity, to define themselves. And so as the church, these are not things that we have specifically set out to do. Generally, in the past, in many places, this still works, and a lot of churches are still doing this. And God bless them, and He has blessed this. We have approached ministry from a standpoint of, my parents were bowlers, and so I'm not a bowler, but my parents were bowlers. So like my mom and dad had their own ball, their own bag, their own gloves. Wow. So as a kid, we spent some time at the bowling alley, and I think there are a couple gutter balls that we tend to throw. In kids ministry, I'll pick on kids ministry because that's my space. Y'all can apply this to the rest of the church as you will or won't. And so the first one is that what it means to be a Christian is about what we know. It's about knowledge. And so we want kids to memorize verses and to learn stories and to be able to answer the Bible trivia, to give the Sunday school answers. And we figure if we can get them to know these things, that they will be okay, that they'll walk with the Lord. Well, we know that that's not true, right? The Pharisees had great knowledge, but Jesus talked about how their hearts were far from Him. On the other side is that being a Christian is about what you do or don't do. It's behavioral. So one is intellectual, one is behavioral. And on the behavioral side, we want to say, do this, don't do that, and it becomes behavior modification. Where if we can just get kids to not do these bad behaviors and to do these other good behaviors, they'll be all right. Well, the truth is we know that that doesn't work either. The answer is the pins in the middle are sort of shaped like a heart when you look at that. And if we go for the heart of the child and they're transformed from within, then the behavior and the knowledge come as a result. They're a fruit, not the root. But going for the heart means we need to speak to the heart of the child, and that's their identity. So in reality, who we are as Christians is about who we are. It's about our identity, and we need to tell kids who God says they are. They know who the culture wants them to be. It wants them to be politically correct and to be self-defined and all these secularistic viewpoints that are so pervasive and persuasive that are pressed on our kids. We need to step back and say, kids, you need to know who God says you are. And so part of what we've done in our book is we've outlined 12 simple biblical identity truths that we want every kid to know about who God says they are. So how we reach speaks to belonging, and what we teach speaks to identity. And in those two things, when kids are going to find both of these things somewhere. They're going to find belonging somewhere. They need to find it in the church. They're going to find identity someplace. They need to find that in Christ.
Well, okay, super. I mean, this is helpful. And I know that, just so those of you know, so the New Churches podcast, I actually started when I was at Lifeway. And so we've had Lifeway as this partner for the New Churches podcast for a very long time. Some of you are long enough listeners to remember Daniel M. and Todd Ekins. And we've had, different partners and different
great guys.
But one of the things we've got this partnership with Lifeway, and I want to tell a little bit about what that means. So two things. Well, first, let me actually mention too that church plants get free access to their first year of curriculum and training on Ministry Grid. It's eligible plants are 2 years or less, and so there's that resource as well. But you guys have actually developed a curriculum kind of based on some of this research as well. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about HiFi.
Yeah, we have a brand new resource. So as we set out, one, to understand the generation and the needs in the church, and now then to meet that need, we said, boy, we really need a new resource because we can't put new wine in old wineskins, right? So we need to do something new that's going to package this approach in a way that makes it accessible and applicable to the church. And so we created this resource that's brand new called HiFi. As we record this, we're in the second month of use of HiFi. So it is brand new on the market. And HiFi is a resource that speaks directly to these big needs of belonging and identity. So HiFi is spelled H-Y-F-I. For those of you who are trying to Google it right now, you want to get that spelling right. An easy way to remember it is this, is when a child first arrives into a ministry using HiFi, you might think of HiFi standing as "Here You Feel Included." That speaks to that need of how we need to engage them relationally. And there's a very different approach to how we format. Now, you know, when you walk into any kids ministry, you're going to play games, you're going to have activity pages, you're going to sing songs, you're going to have a Bible lesson, probably with a video. And we have all of those things. But there are some real distinct, important subtleties in how we use those differently. So when a child arrives at HiFi, we're playing group games, not for the purpose of pre-teaching the Bible content, but for creating connection. The assumption is we need to treat every child as an outsider when they walk in the door. Everyone feels disconnected. Their shields are up. Their guard is up. Their ears are closed. And so we need to work to break down barriers to emotional safety in a child. And so the resource is built to help us do that. So at the beginning, our approach is "Here You Feel Included." And then as we move through and their ears are open to listen and they hear and understand, come to belief, HiFi transitions to where the letters spell out "Here You Find Identity in Christ." So "Here You Feel Included" and "Here You Find Identity." We don't really tell people this. This is like a subtle secret acronym. Secret right okay. This is just for you, just for us,
listens,
guys.
Nobody listens to the podcast.
Exactly. Only for, well, but this is proprietary secret yeah. insider information, right? We don't publish this. You won't find this printed on the website, but it does help us remember the important aspects in the spiritual journey that we want to take kids on. As we move through. So HiFi is a new resource that is written, and we call it a new resource. So did not grow up in the South. Lifeway's in Nashville, Tennessee. We're in the buckle of the Bible Belt and Southern Baptist entity. And so the content that we create, we largely serve churches in the South. And as we set out with this new resource, part of our studies was to understand the needs of churches who are serving in different contexts, who are serving in post-Christian cities in the North, East, West, and elsewhere. And so as we set out to talk about making this new resource, I said, let's use new as an acronym, and we're going to use it to stand for North, East, and West. And so if we create a resource that feels authentic in those places, with the language we use, with the people who are on camera, with the locations that we show, it's not the South that we're trying to package and ship out, you know, like we're Southern missionaries. We need to be authentically of the North, East, West, and other parts of the country. And when we do, it also works in the South. And so we have a culturally aware resource in HiFi. And it is all digital. So there's no print, there's no paper, there's no shipping, there's no waiting. It's instant access by subscription. Information you can find it at myhifi.com. It's myhyfi.com. And you can find sample sessions and content and things there. But what it does is it teaches these 12 simple biblical identity truths in a monthly format where wrapped in a resource that's flexible, faithful, and fun. So it's flexible in that it's meant to be modified. Every kids leader is having to rearrange and edit their resources, and none of them are made to be edited. So we've allowed that. It's faithful, and that's a key thing. One of the other connections you and I, Ed, might make to the word HiFi is the HiFi was a stereo. Right, that was right. It was
back
that big
in the day. These
wooden,
kids today, they don't know what a HiFi, but these kids today, they need to know about the HiFi.
But the HiFi, because it was a stereo, stood for its high fidelity, right?
Right.
And so, it's kids' ministry should be loud and clear, like it's coming through a HiFi. And so, we want the gospel to be very, very clear. And being Lifeway, the fidelity of the content is so important to us. That's a value that we are never going to step away from. And so although we can make something that is authentically new and fresh in a new approach that understands the generation, we are still going to be true to who we are at Lifeway. We stake ourselves on trustworthy content. And so the content itself that we teach is going to be high fidelity, high faithfulness to the word and to the Baptist faith message. And then fun. And fun is one of those words that's maybe a new word at Lifeway. That's, we're trying to introduce that. That's, we've not been accused of being fun. But so fun is one of those things that is so key in engaging children. We don't need to be stodgy. One of the things that I say is if you're, you know, we know that kids need connection. And so relational connection is a key part of what we're trying to accomplish for the church. And so in that, if the format of your kids' ministry is sit still, be quiet, face forward, that doesn't foster connection. And so kids' ministry needs to have some motion and some noise. So we build into the resource activities that are intended to foster friendships and connections between kids and leaders.
Fascinating and helpful. And hey, I really love the fact that this is actually something that people can get for free as well as part of that. And if you go to newchurches.com/offer, it'll link over to the free resources. Not just that, you actually have some free resources with you can do curriculum, ministry leader training through Ministry Grid, also some Bible resources as well. The Bible resources discount, the other things are free. And so that's a win because we like free at newchurches.com. Thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with us. We really appreciate you, Chuck, and the research that you've done. And really, I just want to encourage people to check out the Hi-Fi resources as well. Again, all those you can find over at newchurches.com/offer. You can also get the download of his book at lifeway.com/what's the word?
Flip the script download. Lifeway.com/flip the script download. It's a long URL, but it's worth the effort.
It's worth the effort. Chuck Peters, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to the New Churches podcast. Be sure to leave a review, a rating, and more so that other people can find this podcast. Because again, we like free things and you can help people to find this free podcast as well. Thanks for listening to the New Churches podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.